Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
And welcome to a Friday morning. My name is Steak. It's the Steakhouse. The lamp on the moniker outside, that means we are open for business. Find your table. Get comfortable. We got the fastest 2 hours in radio ahead of us, and we got a bunch of folks helping us as well. G Money back in the mix. How you doing, bud?
Here I am.
We got to turn your mic on. This I don't know why that happens 2 days in a row.
No, I'm ready to roll, man. It's gonna have some fun.
Bo is here. Abe's helping us out. We got a bunch of guests. We got in studio people. We got famous writers. We got one of the most acclaimed college baseball coaches of all time. I got a lot going on over the next 2 hours. So a challenge without the big three, Drew, Rusty, and Sandy. But we are focused and ready to rock and roll on a Mother's Day weekend where nowhere near, you know, we had this report and I had to be like, why do those guys always just talk about the weather first thing? I know Sandy, you know, she was a famous meteorologist, famous weather journalist. Anyways, it looks like it's going to be a nice day today. I'm actually golfing. So when I go on the golf course, it's not pretty. It's the ultimate humbling experience for me because, and not that I'm such a superior athlete, but I'm good enough at a lot of different sports.
Well, you're more of a tennis guy.
Tennis guy, pickleball, basketball. You know, every sport I'm decent enough. Played lacrosse, of course, in high school, and you know, have pretty good hand-eye coordination. All that. That much being said, the reason I don't play more golf is how bad I am, and I've made a commitment to say enough already. Like enough already. You're closer to the career than the beginning of your career, and at some point, you're going to want to be able to go out on a frequent basis, be better than respectable. So been doing a little bit of the golf academies and the lessons and all that, and today we're going out there with a little bit of a bad back, right? Already making excuses. Did you hear Sandy just rip into men the other day? Bo, you heard that shtick? Mike Johnson is literally telling you, an NFL lineman, a Alabama captain, NFL lineman who broke his ankle in the most horrific fashion, and he's like, this gout is the single worst pain I have ever had, and it's not close. And then she does some diatribe about how men whine, right? How did that sit with you, Bo? And I love Sandy to death, but maybe it's the men that she's been with or something. But
look, I can understand. So women like to pull the try having kids card. And I get that 100%.
Yes.
I'm not going to say that passing a gallstone or whatever is the same, but it's similar.
Yes.
But there are things that men go through in their lives that are very painful.
And that's one of them.
Like the common cold.
And also don't agree with I don't agree with the whole when men get sick, their babies.
Listen,
I'm not. You can never even tell when I'm sick.
I won't even take a day, ever.
Same.
So like Sandy's like, don't come to work if you're sick. I worked with her for 15, 20 years. I wanted to say to her, I come to work every single time. I was here 3 weeks ago. I literally couldn't move. I was lying down in the break. And not that I'm such a tough guy, but maybe you just need to marry more manly men or something. I don't know what that was about, right? And I hear from my family, like, you need to lay low. I say, no, being sick is not an option ever. Anyways, Mike is doing better. I don't mean to take shots at Sandy, but she's not here, so I get to do that. And we got a lot going on over the course of the next couple of hours. We might as well just throw in our 9-9 because a lot of Braves to talk about and a lot to say about last night.
Here we go again. Through the left side! Ozzie's coming home! And the Braves win it in 11!
I told you.
The rookie Baldwin delivers a little Truist magic tonight.
Funky homestand for the Braves. They get 7 games set. Obviously, the Dodgers in a rain-filled weekend where you just get slapped around a little bit. You win the Sunday night game, and then you start to say, let's go to work on the Reds. Mm. Nice team.
Good team.
Nice little offense, right?
Yeah.
About equal to the Braves. You figure this could be a 4-game split. That's why yesterday was so important. You give up the huge two-run homer in the ninth, and you're leaving town with a, what would it have been? A 3-4 homestand.
Yeah.
And once again, not as close to getting to 500, but in three games under, now you're one game under.
Yeah, and look, this has been a bugaboo for the Braves here early in the season, is getting back up to that 500 mark. It's one step forward, two steps back, but Brian Snicker pushed all the right buttons last night. There were a couple decisions on there that I felt like were a little interesting, you know, like bringing in Stuart Fairchild to pinch hit for Marcelo Zuna, and then inevitably Fairchild has to come up in the bottom of the 11th. It ends up working out pinch, in the Braves' favor.
Right.
It was a pinch running situation.
Pinch run. You said pinch hit.
But he came up to hit in the bottom of the 11th.
But that happened, yes, which is the danger of when you make that decision.
But the important thing is Spencer Schwellenbach got back on track. That's the number one thing.
Schwellenbach last night, 6 innings, 5 hits, a run, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Raisel Iglesias, another disastrous scenario for him, getting real close to feeling like you can put him out there in the ninth inning.
Well, I'm not quite there yet, but this is a situation where he's just giving up the long ball. I mean,
again.
Yeah, I mean, he's had about 11, 12 innings pitched this year. He's got 6 home runs. That's more than he gave up all of last year.
Yeah, 4 last year.
70 innings last year.
Was it the Cardinal game? They scored like 5 in the ninth, and you were up by like, you know, you almost blew that game.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the rookie, Drake Baldwin. A big moment, goes the other way with it. His manager's happy.
You know, I've been very impressed with his clock and how he's kind of lets the game come to him. I mean, he doesn't try and get out of his skin to do things, and that's kind of been something that I've been really impressed with him here. He doesn't get caught up in the moment because it's a big league game, and you know, he stays with his bat, the defense, everything. I've been just really impressed with how he goes about it and his clock. I mean, he helped us win the game, or he won the game for us.
What I would describe him as is just cerebral. I think that's the perfect adjective to describe Drake Baldwin. He steps up to the plate, doesn't matter what the situation is, and he just attacks each pitch. And he has got patience. He knows how to attack every single at-bat. Just a strong hitter.
Well, certainly, he's the guy we heard the most about in terms of the impact. Sean Murphy, obviously, that's a nice combination the Braves have had. Mm-hmm. Reality now, guys, it's pretty simple. You're a game under 500. The Pittsburgh Pirates are absolutely flailing. 7 in a row they have lost. Really bad baseball team, one of the worst. And a chance now, if you go 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh, you're back at 500.
Yeah, look, they just fired their manager, too. So you got Derek Shelton, who just got fired. Don Kelly, he's going to be stepping in. This is it's been a tough year for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Been a tough couple of years for the Pittsburgh Pirates. This was a year they thought they could make the playoffs, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, they have these little blips last couple of years where you said maybe they get in the mix. The reality of teams, you see this with the Orioles, they're really bad again. You see it with the Royals. You see it with the Pirates. Small market teams have a very, very small window in a 10-year stretch, maybe 2 years. Pirate fans have been absolutely dealing with this baseball team. It has been brutal for a long stretch. They come home and get the Nationals next week.
And we avoid Paul Skeens. That's the most important thing. That's really the biggest bugaboo that could have jumped up and bit us over the weekend.
Yeah, you get 2 out of 3, you're back at 500. And updating Spencer Strider. Listen, it's taken way longer than anybody would have anticipated. The frustration level on Spencer Strider is real, but for the most part, it looks like another session on Saturday. Obviously, he's not going to pitch in the home series against the Nationals. I'm just going to circle a date. Best case scenario. Talking to my friends, my brethren, my Braves brotherhood, you go up to Fenway Park next weekend, which would probably be the perfect weekend to be in Boston. It's not overrun as the summer. It's not summer there yet. Everybody's still in school. People aren't traveling. Go watch the Braves at Fenway. I think there is a decent chance that Spencer Strider could get a start over the weekend at Fenway Park, which would be spectacular.
Yeah, and look, this is just a guy we need to get back into the rotation. He's just got to stay healthy. Just to avoid that shtick of potentially being the injury bug type of thing. It just keeps jumping up and biting him. But hopefully, look, we just need this guy to get back to normal.
The depth of the pitching staff, if you get back Spencer Strider and you start to stretch things out with 5 or 6 guys, looks pretty good.
Yeah, you might have a 6-man rotation right now. just based off of the way Grant Holmes is pitching. Spencer Schwalenbach, of course, he's cemented in there. And this is all before Ronaldo Lopez comes back at some point in July, August. It's a good problem to have for Brian Snicker.
All right, let's talk about the NBA last night. The T-Wolves over the Warriors. Finally, the normal common man that walks up to a Vegas or calls his guy or looks at a number and looks at a matchup and says, boy, that's a big number. They should cover the number. And that's exactly what happened last night. The T-Wolves, I think, were up 13-0. Warriors playing without Steph Curry for another 6 days, at least. A complete blowout. Anthony Edwards and company, that series is 1-1, headed back to Golden State. But maybe the favorites are getting back on track. Oklahoma City did it the night before. Minnesota, a heavy favorite last night. Tonight, I should mention, really interesting. Cavs clearly still dealing with some banged-up players. They are at Indiana. It will be a spectacular scene in Indiana. They're a four-point favorite. After that, the Thunder at the Nuggets. The Thunder, a significant favorite in that one. So you have two powerhouse teams, the number one team in the West, the number one team in the East, both on the road tonight trying to right the ship.
Yeah, and look, this is a Cavs team that I'm actually really worried about. I'm not sure. Tyrese Halliburton and this playoff squad, they're just a playoff squad. You know, the Pacers.
That's fine.
It's about injuries.
Cleveland had the greatest regular season. They're deep as hell. Mobley, Garland, Dondre. That's a lot to overcome.
Yeah, but what does it mean? What does it mean if you don't do anything in the playoffs? And Tyrese Halliburton and company, they've shown that they can get it done in the postseason. They jump on teams. And you say defense wins in the playoffs, but so far the offense is just way too much to overcome.
Well, their injuries to me are what's been too much to overcome. When you talk about Mobley and Garland, those are absolute key pieces. Donovan Mitchell goes for 41 the other night in a losing effort. I like both favorites tonight for sure. Tomorrow, Boston and the Knicks, that series.
Are you worried about Boston?
Well, of course you're worried about Boston. I mean, it's a fascinating series. Knicks fans are literally losing their minds. Think Saints fans with Drew Brees when they made a Super Bowl run. That's what's going on in New York. They cannot believe that the Knicks are up 2-0. That'll be one of the toughest tickets tomorrow afternoon in Madison Square Garden. And then later in the day, of course, the Minnesota series. So Golden State has no time to turn around. They're playing right away, and they'll have to deal without Steph Curry. That's in the news. Also, NFL schedule a few days away from that. Wednesday, May 14th is when that's coming up. And Danny Hall will join us in the 10 o'clock hour. He is wrapping up 40 years as the head baseball coach at Georgia Tech. His final home series of his career. He's been a friend for many years. He's a legend. He's an amazing guy. We'll say hey to him. We'll say hey to Bob Ryan, legendary sports writer. We'll talk some pickleball at 10 o'clock with my buddy who's running one of the biggest pickleball organizations in the world. Huge tournament coming to Atlanta. So a lot on the table. And, yeah, we might hear from my mom as well for Mother's Day weekend. It's Steak on the Steakhouse on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. My name is Steak. It's the Steakhouse. 2 hours of a little bit of sports talk and everything else that comes along with it. And I talked yesterday and was waxing poetic about, you know, a family. I grew up with mom and dad that weren't into sports at all. And how does that happen that you become obsessed with it? Well, you grow up in a town where you're obsessed with it. You also grow up in a town where your folks that you read every day are named Bob Ryan, Will McDonough, Peter Gammons, among others, and helped me become, I think, hopefully build a career that I've been able to have for the last 30 years in Atlanta. Bob Ryan joining us, one of the great sports writers of all time. Good morning, Bob. Thanks for being on with us.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the compliment.
Absolutely, sir. Lots to ask you about in your illustrious career. Let me ask you, though, kind of a basic question about life and times of a beat writer. Was it the Celtics always the only team that you were on the beat with from start to finish? You didn't do multiple teams, multiple sports, correct?
I became the Celtics beat man as a complete shock in 1969 when I was 23 years old. I had been a summer intern in 68 at the Globe, and then when the summer expired, I had enlisted in the Army Reserves, and I did my basic training and AIT at Fort Knox. Came back in February 69, was rehired as an office boy with a verbal promise of getting on the next opening on the staff. That came in October of 69 on a Wednesday when the sports editor informed me I was going to be on the staff. And, oh, by the way, you're covering the Celtics opener on Friday night. I had not been to an exhibition. I had met nobody. I had never covered an NBA game specifically. And that was my baptism. And that launched my NBA writing career. And it is the only team that beat in basketball that I ever had.
Not bad to start your career covering Bill Russell, and I assume that was that the title?
No, it wasn't. No, this is
the year after.
Russell year.
That was the year after. They just beat the Lakers, and this is no more Bill Russell, so a different era. But let me ask you, the glamorous life, and I say it tongue-in-cheek, of a beat writer in the 70s, in the 80s, what does the day look like? It's so different now in a digital age. Beat writers sometimes don't even travel, or beat reporters aren't even necessarily on the road all the time. What are those years like when your life is spent? What's the difference in access, conversation, connection with players and everybody else?
I obviously do not know what it's like to exist today. I can't conceive of it knowing what I know. You can only be happy doing it now the way they do it if you are blissfully ignorant or unaware of what life was like in our time when it was so much better, so much infinitely better in every way. I do not envy these people at all. They will never enjoy the job the way we did. They do not have access. They are treated with like pieces of naval lint. They sit. They do not sit on the floor and hear the game and see it the way we did. They do not have access to open practices routinely the way we did. They do not go out and socialize with the players the way we did. They do not have. They just don't. And they're not even writing the game the way we did. They write observations. They don't write beginning, middle, and game stories with beginning, middle, and end.
But there always is a nuance. And I don't mean to cut you up, but there's so much to ask you about. We only have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
There's always a nuance. And I know how close you were with the 80s Celtics, and you wrote multiple books with Larry Bird, but then the 70s and you know, of how much you see, like you're out with the players. You're around them. You have, you know, there is not the paranoia, or at least there isn't the standoffishness. For any young writer, that nuance was much more prevalent of being able to live with these guys and make sure you didn't screw it up.
That's true. You have to earn their trust. And you earn their trust by demonstrating over time you know what's reportable and what's not reportable. And you have to earn it. And I say, and I talk to any group now, I never thought about this in these terms, Steak, until about 3 years ago. You're a salesperson, and what you're doing as a beat person, whether it's college or pro, if it's pro, you're selling yourself, yourself, to the players, the coaches, and the management. If you're in college, you're selling yourself to the players, the coach, and the AD. And that's it. You have to earn the trust and respect by how you carry yourself, not only what you write and broadcast, but how you carry yourself. And it's really no more complicated than that. But the whole circumstance was so radically different. I can't even begin to, just the routine stuff that we did, gathering at the airport before the game and before the flight and shooting the breeze and spending just everything, riding the bus with them to shoot around in the morning and back, and then riding the bus to the arena on the road. I remember one night in Cleveland when they held the bus up, so my rival, but we were friendly, Steve Bolpet of the Herald, could finish his story and get on the bus to get back. I mean, can you imagine that
today?
That's crazy. That's science fiction.
Yeah.
The players wouldn't believe it.
When you hear about – Bob Ryan is with us, ESPN, the Boston Globe, among other places, one of the great writers in history in sports. When you hear – and I'm not trying to be the old guy on the lawn because I'm not that guy. But when you hear when you hear about players talk about load management and what they're subjected to and, you know, how they're treated by owners, you literally are flying commercial jets with fans and 7-foot-tall players – sitting in coach and waiting 2.5 hours in a delay with Billy from Dorchester and Jimmy from Falmouth. And that was part of it, along with buses and everything else in terms of travel. And not playing 82 games would be sinful as well on top of it.
You wouldn't think of not playing if you could play. Period. And you go back and look in the record books and see the number, the routine nature of 82 game guys and 80 game guys, on and on. All the great ones who were lucky enough not to get injured.
You're travel.
So right.
What about the travel?
The travel conditions are so radically easy, much better now. Charter flights everywhere. 5-star hotels everywhere. I'm telling you that when I started, one team chartered occasionally, the Knicks. They had the most money. And then it was a radical thing in the 80s. The Pistons started the charter, and they were winning stuff. And then now everybody charters routinely. That wasn't that way at all. You had the early morning flight, 7 o'clock, 8 in the lobby, and you're going to the – oh, and it's not even – you hit upon it. It's so different. And the idea – why all these guys are getting hurt, and that's number one, and that's like a baseball. Why are pitchers all hurt? But Pop started this with the big joke, and I love Pop, and they're going to miss him. But he started this with the big joke. Remember on the stat sheet for Duncan, did not play. What did he put? Something funny.
Yeah.
And he's the pioneer of this. The load management, and now everybody's doing it.
Bob Ryan with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Obviously a major freak out last 2 days in Boston. I can only imagine what Sports Talk Radio and the writers have been like. But when you have a city where the level of urgency and the culture permeates sports at every level, does it create greater players, create more urgency? I can only imagine, obviously, last 48 hours, but you've seen this for 40 years, mm-hmm. particularly in the last 25 years. You got to be thick-skinned, and you got to want to be the guy if you're going to be able to handle what's going on the last few days.
That's right, and that's why the most important person right now is the best player on the team, and he's fully cognizant of his responsibility, and that's Jason Tatum. And yeah. You're absolutely right, and whether it's baseball, football, basketball, but mostly in baseball and basketball. But even hockey, but no question. This town has gotten so accustomed to championships and winning. We're the luckiest municipality in America. We're the one of two that has won each of the four major sports, and they did it within a 1 7-year span from 04 to 11. We won at least once in each sport. On and on it goes. We've had the most parades since the 21st century. There's inherent pressure there that you don't have in the average city. There's no question about that. This is not an easy place to play. New York and Boston are very, very different than playing in the heartland or other places.
You hate the three-point shot. You still do, and maybe this is a testament to that, what's happened in this series?
Without question. I what I'm about to say, Stake, is not hyperbole. It's something I've been saying for many years. The three-point shot is the worst thing to happen to basketball in my lifetime. And it has distorted the game at every level. And it's very interesting. People don't realize, what is the three-point shot? Why is it? It is the gimmick of a promoter. Abe Saperstein, yes, the impresario of the Globetrotters, he founded a league in 1961 called the American Basketball League. It was going to be in competition with the NBA, and he needed a gimmick, and he came up. There had been idea of a three, I know, had been floating around casually for many years, but no one was taking it seriously. He put it in, and the league folded after a year and the second year. But it was picked up by the Eastern Basketball League, which was then the primary minor league and the second-best basketball league in the world, then picked up in 1976 by the ABA, and because they needed a gimmick, and they had two, that and the red, white, and blue ball. And that's its origin. No one was asking for it. No one needed it. And we still don't need it, but now it's the currency. It's distorted the game at every level. And, we all know the most influential player of the 21st century is Steph Curry, who's influenced every little kid in America. Every 8-year-old wants to shoot threes. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
So, but we see what's happening. You live by it, you die by it. The Celtics won by it last year. They may yet win by it, I mean, let me give an example of the capriciousness of it. The Timberwolves, they were 5 for 29 in game one. They lost. Last night they shot over 40% and they won. And it may or may not be as simple as that. But I hate it. It isn't needed. And now we have no more legitimate post play. The Kevin McHales of the world are like dinosaurs. They'll never be seen again. And it's just not necessary. But here it is, and it's not going away. I know that. We'll have a 4-point shot before I die. I'm sure of that.
All right. Before we go, finish up with Bob Ryan. By the way, you want a great sports book. Scribe, My Life in Sports, the History of Bob Ryan on the Road, covering some of the great teams, players, athletes. Somebody out there wants to know what Bob Ryan considers a great writer, a current great group of writers in sports that you read or otherwise, and then mentors and folks that you emulated or continued to emulate as you were a writer. Give me four
or five. I'll start with that. My two beacons. Yeah, I won't say idols, or you can say that. Jim Murray, the great late Jim Murray of the Los Angeles Times, got my attention in my teens. He was a syndicated columnist then, when they had such a thing, and I saw him in the Philadelphia Inquirer. I became infatuated with Jim Murray. Secondly, Frank DeFord, Sports Illustrated. Had you asked me at age 20, what do you want to do? I would have said, I want to be the next Frank DeFord. I want to go to Sports Illustrated and be the next Frank DeFord. Those are the two most influential people in my writing career. Okay, number one. Contemporarily, I think The Athletic is terrific. They've hired some of the great people, and they've hired them. What they're doing on a daily basis is very, very good. I think that we still have a very good sports section at the Globe. I think an exemplary sports section left is the New York Post. I think they really touch all the bases as well as any paper still does. And all deference to friends of mine and everybody else, the columnist that I think most gets it totally in every aspect is Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post. He gets it. He knows. He has a fan point of view and brings that to with vast historical knowledge and great local knowledge. I mean, if you live in greater New York and you don't read Vaccaro, you're missing something.
Before we go, 10 seconds. Two writers, nothing to do with sports. Two of the great writers in history that you respect.
Oh, well, no, John Updike's my ultimate idol. John Updike, no question. And I'll just leave it at that. He's my man.
Thank you so much. Always a thrill for me to be able to talk to Bob Ryan. Thanks for coming on in Atlanta.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Bob Ryan, telling you what it was like and telling you what it's like today. And great respect for the Post and Vaccaro. I got to make sure I read him every day. When we come back, the NFL schedule? Why it's a real big deal for Falcon fans. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks so much for being with us, and thanks to Bob Ryan for joining us. And there's nothing I hate more than, and just so I hope the listener understands too, than cutting off a guy like Bob Ryan when he has a lot to say and a lot of answers. I love live radio, and I love being able to come on here and react about last night right after it happened. And the excitement and energy that you don't get in a podcast where you air it 3 days later or, you know, you're not interacting with calls or any of that. But the beauty of the podcast is when you have someone like Bob Ryan, who literally I could talk to for 2.5 hours, is that you just have to sometimes say, hey, let's try to get two or three more questions. And he was great at the end there. And maybe because he does Around the Horn and he actually understands TV as well. But, you know, to me, that's a thrill to be able to talk to. It's really not about Boston. It's about any writer that has worked for 45 years in sports that has traveled to every arena, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, seen every era of sports, and does not come off shaking his finger at, you know, the modern era of things. So that's why it's always a thrill to get him on.
I mean, besides his thought on the 3-point shot, Stig. I mean, I get the 3-point shot. I mean, it's kind of a tough spot for the old heads, I guess, but it has revolutionized the game. It's completely changed everything.
Well, yeah, it's definitely revolutionized the game. And I don't totally agree with what he says, because shooting is what basketball is supposed to be about. But he is right. It has changed everything. The notion of running an offense through a low post guy and getting buckets and understanding McHale was his example, or regardless, I mean, it has taken away the notion of throwing it to a guy down on the block and letting him be the most important, or letting post play really be a factor, because 2 points are not as much as three. And we all, you know, it's, you know, we joke about the simplicity of that. But listen, all the math in the world and algorithms and analysis has been done. They're not throwing it down on the block to Karl Malone backing a guy down and hitting a fallaway jumper, even, you know, 10% of the offense is that, and maybe it used to be 70. And the reason it's not is because it's just the math doesn't add up. I mean, the math doesn't add up. 3-point shots are just too powerful. They're too influential in terms of making plays, and that's why you don't see that kind of thing happening anymore. So I understand the McHales and Malones and Charles Barkley to a degree, right? Charles Barkley's not shooting threes. Now, he would have had to. Any guy in that era would have had to take their game outside and have that be more a part of it.
It's a completely different game than what people played in the 90s. And that's why I hate these comparisons that I see people make about players from the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s. What would they do in this league? Oh, well, they do X, Y, and Z. Or we don't know. We don't have any idea. They play a completely different brand of basketball. And I mean, he said it, and I completely agree. And I'd actually take it a step further about Steph Curry. I'd say Steph Curry is the most influential basketball player that we've ever seen. Because every kid in America can try to step up to the three-point line and take a shot. Not everybody can do what Jordan did. Not everybody can do what Wilt did and all those incredible things underneath around the basket. But Steph has changed the game.
Yeah,
of
he's changed the game, but he didn't change it more than Michael Jordan. I mean, Mike, you talk about every kid on planet Earth wanted to be Michael Jordan.
Well, so, there's a difference between that and being an influence. They're right there, the same types of players.
Yeah, I mean, to say that, I mean, he changed the way we play the game, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan made basketball an international sport of which, you know, you're the biggest star on planet Earth for a long time and continue to be that, right? And Michael's game was, you know, okay from three, but certainly not a part of his game. Listen, Larry Bird would have shot, you know, 10 threes a night in this era. Like 10, 50, you know. Was he as good a shooter as Steph Curry? Not as good, but not far. Even Reggie Miller didn't shoot nearly as many threes. Yeah. That wasn't part of it. You had Rick Smits in the post. You had Dale Davis in the post. You had Antonio Davis in the post. You run stuff through your big guys. Mm-hmm. You run through stuff through your off guards. Now they just be like, Reggie needs to shoot 14 threes a night because those are worth more than going on the block to Rick Smits, backing a guy down and shooting a jump hook shot. It was just different. Now it's like run everything through the outside. Steph Curry running off of screens. That's what Reggie Miller would be doing. He'd just be getting a lot more shots at the time.
Yeah, you have to guard 30, 35 feet off of the rim. You're asking defenders to do is insane.
You don't know this Pacer team. It was Dale Davis. I think it was Antonio Davis and Rick Smits. Like, those guys were monster big guys. And, you know, you would run stuff through them, even with Reggie Miller. All right, it's 9:47 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Conti came to me. I listened to the, what's the official title? Brand manager. Brand manager! He said it's Mother's Day. Can we do some Mother's Day programming? You've heard me talk about my mom all the time on the show. And we said, I made the huge mistake yesterday, Bo, of announcing I wanted her to do buy or sell. And she listens every single day in the Odyssey app, listens every day. So I got the call yesterday, Mom, right? And you were, I wouldn't say you were in a panic, but you were not, you like to be prepared, but I would argue you don't want to be knowing that that's going to happen because you probably thought about it too much. Is that accurate?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, you called me, you said, what are you talking about? Am I coming on tomorrow? And I realized.
I'm not used to it the way you are, and I panic. I don't like to use the wrong word, make a mistake, all that.
Take a deep breath. Are you in the middle of your morning walk, or that just ended?
I am, dear. I am. Yeah. And I
tell everybody what your routine is. You're 85 years old, correct?
I'd like to correct you on that
86
one. I'm 86.
Years. 86.
Yes.
And what's the fitness? What's the routine every day? And how long have you been in this routine? Tell our listeners because it's pretty remarkable.
Okay, I started in 1973 running. but then I had some difficulties with surgeries and all that, and I went into power walking, which I do now ever since then, to today, 5 miles a day. Like, that's my routine.
Like literally 5 miles a day.
Yeah, like literally.
So like if,
even when I'm in Atlanta, yes,
even
up those hills.
Even in, everyone's like, I saw your mom in the neighborhood. So you'll do the 3 miles in the morning, and then
yes,
we'll be sitting around
We'll be sitting around the
yeah. pool. We'll be hanging out at the house. We'll be taking a ride. He's like, next thing you know, you're gone because you need. Is that just an obsessive compulsive? You need to get your next 2.5 miles later in the
yes.
day.
Yes, yes, it's my nature. I can't do without it.
Yeah,
it stabilizes me mentally and physically.
And if you have to be my mom, being stabilized mentally probably was something that you needed over the years.
Well, I'll leave it up to you to decide that.
Yes.
But it's been an absolute greatest delight of my life to have you as my son.
Well, that's very...
So,
We ready to play Buy or Sell? I don't think you've ever done that.
Yes.
All right.
No, I've never done it.
All right. This is Buy or Sell with Valya Shapiro. Buy or Sell. Of the three weddings, now you have two sons and three weddings. Somebody got married twice. Not naming names.
Yes.
Of the three weddings for your sons, the one in New Orleans was your favorite. Buy or sell?
I'll buy that. Absolutely. I mean, you know, going down the French Quarter with the whole band and
second line.
Your,
that was the second line, yeah.
Sorry, the second line. Okay.
So it's not necessarily the woman... That was at, not that you don't love Kimberly, but the best wedding was New Orleans. Is that safe to say?
Yes. Yes. I love that city.
Sandra, well, you get 4 more years with Nola headed there. Sandra is your favorite co-host of the three. Sandra is your favorite. Buy or sell?
Yes, because number one, she's a female. Number two, because she has a sense of humor. And number three, because she has a repartee with you that is really unique in the radio world.
Well said. Buy or sell, you speak fluently more than 6 languages. Buy or sell, you speak...
Yeah. Yes, I do. What? I do. I'm buying that one.
How many languages do you speak? Give us the rundown.
7, fairly fluently, almost fluently.
Right. So name them. What are the languages?
Okay, the languages are English, Turkish, French, Italian, German, Spanish, Greek.
Yeah, and if you listen to sports radio, we barely speak English, so you're well ahead of the game.
I wouldn't say that. I am in great admiration of your skill in using the English language almost to perfection.
Thank you.
Okay, you can go on.
Your favorite singer when I was a kid was Barbara Streisand. Buy or sell? Babs was your favorite.
Yes, Barb was my favorite. I listened to her all the time, and I still think she has an absolutely beautiful voice.
Buy or sell? Steven and his friends scared you during their wild stage in high school. You called that family. You called that meeting of the parents. Absolutely humiliated me. Buy or sell, we scared you during our wild stage. Buy or sell?
I'll buy that one because you did scare me. I was petrified going to a kid's home when his parents were away and doing things that were way beyond my imagination. No, that didn't sit well with me.
Buy or sell, you have a favorite grandchild. You have 5 of them. Buy or sell, you have a favorite. You don't have to tell us.
Oh, I don't do that. I do not do that. I will sell that one because I adore them each individually.
So you couldn't rank them 1 through 5 or how much, you know, each one?
No, I will not do that. I will not do that.
Buy or sell, a 3-hour opera can actually be kind of boring. A 3-hour opera is kind of boring. Buy or sell?
I do not agree with you. No, I will buy that one because I have seen it. I have experienced it. and it is beautiful. Plus the fact that I was brought up with a lot of classical music when I was growing up.
Buy or sell, you regret sending Steven to a shrink as a little kid. Buy or sell, you regret it looking back. Buy or sell.
Well, I regret the fact that you had to be made to do it when, as you explained to me years later, you really weren't the one who needed it.
Who's the one who needed it? Say who needed it.
Your brother, Bram.
All right. There you go. It's out in the open. It's on radio. Buy or sell.
Oh my God.
Buy or sell, you can drink two martinis and still be okay. Buy or sell.
As far as I'm concerned, yes, I'll buy it. As far as you're concerned, no.
Well, listen, as far as Bram's concerned, you can't even have one, right?
That's correct.
Buy or sell, you'd consider dating again if the right guy came along. Buy or sell.
No, darling. Never, never, never. I had one absolutely immeasurable man as a husband, and nothing would ever come close to that.
50 years.
And I would never even consider it. That's your daddy.
Buy or sell. You listen to every show on the Odyssey app. Buy or sell.
Yes, I do. I listen to Odyssey. And I have to confess that I listen to you and sometimes listen to some of the people who come after you or come before you. And that's been a pleasure.
And you're a Mike Bell fan, correct?
I sure am. Yes. He's adorable.
He does the best via Shapiro. All right, we're running up against the break. I think you did a great job. We give kudos, buy or sell. We may have you do
Thank
this.
You.
We may have you do this again. What are you doing for? Well, I'll see you what? You're coming in Wednesday for the graduation and everything, right, Mom?
Yes, I am. I'm looking very much forward to it. Thank you, Stephen.
We'll celebrate Mother's Day when you're here.
Thank you, darling.
All right.
Thank you.
Love you. Talk soon. Bye. And there she is. Good job by Mrs. Shapiro. Good format for her, too.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
She's a unique lady, for sure. Nobody luckier than me. Hey, when we come back, let's talk some pickleball from a guy who knows more about it than anybody in the world, practically. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Steakhouse, fastest 2 hours in radio. That was nerve-wracking having Mom on the air, but she did well, Bo. What do we think? Val, you did okay today,
She did a fantastic job.
Yeah, for 86, man.
Shot it straight, too.
Huh?
Shot it straight, too.
She did shoot it straight. God bless her. It is a constant in our family. She wants the martinis, and she thinks she can handle it. The older brother doesn't give her one. I give her 1.5. She wants to go for 2. Listen, every family has their challenges, so thanks, Mom, for letting it be known what ours are. Joining us in studio, two super cool people, friends of mine, Jason and Wendy Aspis from, Jason is the big dog at United Pickleball Association of America. You're the president or something like going on? What's that?
That is right, president.
The head honcho. Governing body. What is it that United Pickleball Association of America is?
So we try to make pickleball fair. We are, you know, the big pro leagues, the PPA, Major League Pickleball, are taking off. Pickleball, obviously, as a sport, has
massive
just
beyond,
grown
right?
crazy. Yep. So, you know, as millions of dollars are flowing into the game and these athletes are playing for a lot of money, we need to make it fair. And
right.
so that's the job I have.
So what does fair mean? Does that mean equipment? Does that mean skill? Like, what would make it unfair?
So equipment is the biggest part. Paddles are black boxes. You don't know
right.
what's on the inside. And
okay. people,
it's like a cork bat. You know, if you can take advantage, people will take advantage.
Right.
So we're trying to regulate that. And also rules, making sure that our broadcast, we have video reviews on line calls, things like that.
Right. So, and Wendy's here as well. Hey, Wendy, how are you?
Hey, Steak, how
are
you?
Your lovely sister-in-law as well. Or, by the way, we're starting an awesome line of pickleware clothing we'll talk about, too, called Ringer, which is very impressive. Out of Atlanta, correct? That's all that stuff happening out of?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we'll get into that. And a big tournament coming up this weekend. So if somebody loves pickle, is way into it, is playing on a regular basis, how good is the level of – I mean, this is the full top-level pros playing this next week in
Yeah, starting on Tuesday, Peachtree Corners at the Lifetime facility up there. This is the PPA Tour. This is a slam, so a major. This is one of our four majors. The best talent in the world will be
here. So the stuff you see on TV, if you follow any of these sites on Instagram, any of the pros, this is the level you're going to be seeing.
Yeah, and it's something else to see them in person. It doesn't do it justice on Instagram or on TV. While it's fun to watch.
Because why?
The athleticism. It looks like when we watch people dink in pickleball, it looks like I did the same thing. I watched it for the first time and I thought, I could do that. I'm as good as these guys. And then you get out there and you realize what's actually happening and how much, you know, topspin's on those balls and how much they're pushing, and nothing is what we call a dead dink.
How much is the evolution of the strategy of a game that is new, right? So, like, guys have been coaching baseball for 50 years, literally. I'm having Danny Hall on after you guys. Danny Hall's been coaching at Tech for 40 years. The constant evolution of the strategy and now how guys can coach you up with a sport. What's officially how old the sport is?
Like, it's about 60 years old. It started in 1965. So,
but let's just say mainstream. 15 years, 10 years?
I mean, I'd say 5 years. It's really taken the mainstream.
So how much more do you learn about how much there is to the game when you get deeper into it?
Well, so as athletes get better and come into the sport and the equipment changes and allows you to perform different, the strategy changes.
Right.
So it's miraculous the way the game looks from 5 years ago.
And how does it look different?
So much more athletic. So much more, you know,
Some more power?
There is definitely more power, but that's something that not necessarily we want to continue to see. We want to make sure there's a balance between making a reset or a dink or a drop and slowing it down and using strategy to mitigate athleticism. That's
the goal. So people with great hands, great touch, can go up against just powerhouses and have a chance.
I want people with great strategies
right.
that can effectively use them against power.
So Jason Aspis with us. He helps run one of the biggest pickleball organizations in the world. Dumb it down for us. What happened? Why has this sport absolutely exploded the way it has? Every complex condominium, tennis comp, I mean, the amount of you give me the numbers. How much pickleball facilities are coming? How many more people are participating? Has sports ever seen anything like this happen before?
I think maybe jogging back in
the 70s.
Yeah.
My mom was just on talking about how she started running at some point back in the 70s.
Yeah, right? But this takes infrastructure, and we are up to about 70,000 courts in the U.S. now, up, 5X from where we were a few years ago. The infrastructure continues to grow. The players keep coming in. The reason why.
Yeah, what's going on? Like, what is the psychology or the endorphin or what is it providing so many folks from 78-year-olds to, you know, we'll talk about your son and my son who play at 12 and 13. What's it providing?
It's providing an opportunity to compete and a sense of community. Okay. I think that's really the magic here.
What about the barrier of entry is relatively smaller than what I'm doing today, which is playing golf, which is that nightmare. I just heard from one of our buddies, Billy Andre, who's a professional golfer, said, dude, that would be worth the video to see you try to get out there. But my point about golf is it's
time consuming, isn't it? And it's expensive and it's hard.
And it's a barrier of entry. It's hard.
And it's not always as much fun.
Right.
Pickleball, you're going to have fun. It doesn't cost you anything to take a chance and come out to the local park and try it out. And you're going to make new friends. You're going to meet new people. And who knows where that goes?
It's a sport of community more so, right?
100%.
So what I say is you can't show up. I mean, I love playing tennis, but you have to schedule tennis. And you have to get, courts much harder, and many more. It's just, it's a process. Playing 5-on-5 basketball, something we've done for years, and a lot of our buddies, that's a process. I can show up in Hammond today at 4:20 and probably know I'll get 2 hours of run in at some point at different levels.
Yes. We're talking about basketball or we're talking about pickleball?
Yeah, no.
You're not getting run there.
No, I used to play at Hammond back in the day, long time
ago. I got my five.
You do?
We're good.
So talk about the projections for how big pickleball is getting. For somebody who has never played before, give the case for why now is the time to start getting into it.
I mean, it's never too late. I think that back in 2020 when I got in, no one knew what pickleball was. I say no one. But for the most part, when I went out and met the other baseball dads and my kids' team, I'd tell them I worked in pickleball and people thought I was crazy. Yeah. They had no idea what it was. Now you can't tell someone pickleball and they don't light up and get excited. And whether they play or someone they know plays, it has absolutely caught the imagination of just about everybody. And not just here in the U.S., it's growing globally as well. Asia taking off, China, Vietnam, Australia. We're seeing it just boom. Infrastructure being built out.
Anybody building resort, condominium, living space, any of that, pickleball is going to be in the mix.
Sometimes there are noise issues that we see associated with
whining. The whiny people that don't like the noise, right?
It's a beautiful sound.
You're changing the balls a little bit for those places.
There's paddles and quiet balls that are being looked into. So it'll get sorted out.
Let me ask your sister-in-law, Wendy. So, like, what's the gear? What's the proper gear separating a pickleballer from a tennis player from golf? We kind of know the other sports what you're supposed to wear, right? So, where's pickle fall?
Well, I think racket sports in general fall under a different umbrella than the others. But for our sport, when you're playing pickle and you're playing aggressively, your hands are sweating when you're gripping your paddle.
Yes.
And the more you're always playing one more game. It's not you don't go out for an hour. You're out there 2-3 hours having a good time.
I like what you said. The average pickleball experience is north of 2 hours.
Yes, because it's fun and it's quick, you don't realize how fast the time is going. You're not scheduling, I'm out there for 30 minutes or whatever. You're having a good time. You keep going and going and going.
And a lot of times, depending on how crowded a public area you're playing, you may be waiting a game or 8 minutes or 10 minutes. But you could spend easily. Abe over here talks about, you know, showing up at the JCC at noon and leaving at, or the night, was it the nighttime? 6:30 to 10:15.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? The more fun you're having, the longer you're staying out there.
Yeah, I equate it to like being in a casino. You lose time, especially on these indoor places. I just, you know, they do put clocks up there, thank goodness. But I feel like some days I'll be like, wait, oh, I was supposed to get the kids.
Yeah. Or you're just like, who's got one more in them? Like, oh, it's just one game. It's not, you know, maybe it's 10 minutes. And then it just keeps going, right? Or you sit for a second, you got a great sweat, and then you say, all right, I'll give you another couple of games. So the exercise portion of it, let me ask you about, so first of all, so attire-wise, like many racquetball sports, you guys started this clothing line Ringer, right?
Yes.
Which, talk about that for a second and what the mindset is for a pickleball player.
Ringer with a W.
With a W, yes.
Absolutely. So I was a tennis player and was always sweating, and Jason started playing pickle and we were obsessed with it, and the more you play, the more competition there is, the harder you're gripping that paddle, and you sweat, and your hands sweat. And we thought there's got to be a way where you can not lose focus and worry about your paddle flying out of your hand or sweaty hands, and why don't we build something into the gear that will help you perform better.
So what is that?
So we have a patented technology built into our shorts and our skirts where you can wipe your hands. It's basically a towel built directly into your outfit.
Right.
Wipe your hands, absorbs the sweat, and then it evaporates so you're not sitting in any wet clothing, and you're focusing on winning and the next point and having fun
Are you going to look good in it?
Going to look great in it. Yeah. I wouldn't put you in anything where you didn't look great. Come on.
Miss Kimberly, even if she's not playing, is she going to want to wear the Ringer gear or what?
Absolutely. I've got the perfect color to match those beautiful eyes of hers. She's going to be looking great in it.
All right. So Ringer, by the way, ringerwear.com with a W. ringerwear.com. Really cool pickleball stuff. Any of you listening, we have thousands of listeners who always play pickle. Let me ask about the exercise factor, because some of the knock would be playing doubles in pickleball, nowhere near the sweat you're getting in hoops or for a run or for singles tennis or any of that. Yeah. So if you measure your steps, I would argue, hey, sometimes you're realizing maybe I'm not getting the workout that I thought I'm getting. Debunk that myth, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm burning over 2,000 calories when I play for a 2 hour period.
You're playing at high level,
level, yeah.
But what I would argue is the sweat factor. And again, I know it may be water. I can tell you this: when I was playing in the middle of summer, at Hammond almost every day and eating normal, I was dropping weight like crazy. Because if you're outside in our weather in a summer playing pickle, yeah, the sweat factor is huge.
Yeah, it's also, there's an intensity to the game, right? Especially if you get into the right kind of games.
Right.
That's where your heart rate is raised, the intensity level is up, and
right,
that's what it's releasing the serotonin and dopamine hits that we seek in other vices.
And it is great. Why are you looking at me when you say that? So, and for sure, as folks are aging, the fact that you can get in, I mean, listen, I've been beat by 75-year-old women maybe on a regular basis, but it really is the only sport. A 75-year-old woman can take on a 23-year-old dude and absolutely beat their ass,
yeah,
right?
It doesn't make sense, and that's part of the allure. I think when you first go out there and you say, this looks so dumb and the name is so stupid that you think, this can't be real. I'm gonna wipe these
right
guys off the court. And then when they beat you,
right,
you kind of have to rethink everything.
So how fun is this tournament going to be? How many days? Starts on Tuesday?
Starts on Tuesday through Sunday. I really encourage everybody. You can get tickets. I think they're $20. PPATour.com. It is something else.
I've been out there for, I think, post-COVID. They had a huge tennis event there initially. Great for pickle. That facility is awesome. I played pickle over there as well. That's a great place.
Yeah, they've taken that whole center court, the stadium court, and
yes,
made it into full pickleball now.
So that's coming up as well. And if you want to look sexy, right?
And
you
play
look
better.
Cool,
and play better for
play
longer.
Play better
for longer.
Look cool. Atlanta Company, local folks, their mishpucha as well. Go to Ringer. You guys know what I'm saying. Ringerwear.com. Jason and Wendy Aspis. It's great to see you on a
Good
Friday.
Good to see you too.
Good to see you.
Thanks, Dake.
I'll see you out
Thank
there this
you
week. Hey, when we come back, Danny Hall from Georgia Tech. We'll say hey to him. They're really good this year, and this is his last home series of his career. We'll chat with him when we come back. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro. Flying solo on a Friday, but a lot of guests rolling through here. I really enjoyed the pickleball conversation, and probably have Jason on a few more times as people try to get more and more passionate about that game. I saw Abe lit up. Abe Gordon's a convert, if you will, right? He's in the mix. It's obsession in every city. Atlanta's no different. The number one, you know, the Alta folks gravitate to the pickle as well, and it's just a great conversation to be having. Thanks to my mom who joined us earlier. Thanks to Bob Ryan who joined us, legendary sports writer. And we have Danny Hall coming up in a little bit as he has his final home series. Let's hope they're at home for a regional, which would be awesome as well, but his final home series of his career.
Yeah, and look, this has been a great season for Georgia Tech. It's a season where basically what they needed is just some semblance of pitching, and they've gotten that to some degree, and I think the bats have just been a ton of fun. So if folks haven't been out there to go see the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets this season, just see what they're able to do at the plate, it's a lot of fun. And at the very least, it's a very entertaining game.
For sure, and Danny Hull's been a friend for a long time. And by the way, Bo, I don't know if he's there or not. I know we called him early. We're supposed to call him 10:35, but I'm not good with math. That's why I'm in the sports business, so I apologize. Hey, I know we called you a few minutes early, Danny. Thanks so much for coming on with us. Always a pleasure to catch up with you on a busy weekend, I know.
Yeah, I look forward to it always, Dake, and you know, I think you've probably been in Atlanta about as long as I have. So,
well, I've been.
You know, it's always a pleasure.
You've been managing teams and taking care of kids and fulfilling dreams. And I've been talking smack for 30 years, so we both have our contributions. So we had a show yesterday, Danny Hall with us from Georgia Tech, legendary skipper, with his final weekend as. As the manager at Georgia Tech. The finality of graduation, the finality of your kids and empty nesters, the finality of your last high school soccer or football game in that moment. And I was talking about my wife's getting emotional when our daughter's leaving and we have all these ceremonies coming up. For you and this season, how much have you had to be, listen, I got to do my job like all the 39 years before it. I don't have time for sentimentality. I don't have time for, you know, getting emotional. I have to take care of this team the way of taking care of all the others. Has that been your mindset?
That's definitely been my mindset. And, you know, and this weekend, you know, everybody asked me, and, you know, this won't be the final weekend of our season. We finish next weekend at Duke, and then we have ACC tournament, and hopefully NCAA regionals. And, you know, if we finish strong, we'll have a chance to host a regional, which would be great to have one here on campus at Georgia Tech. But my mindset from the, you know, time I kind of made the announcement, I didn't want anything to distract from the team. And I'm kind of an emotional guy, so your wife and I have something in common. And so as great as I know it'll be this weekend with a lot of alumni back, just a lot of people, you know, coming by to say hello or whatever, the main goal is we need to play well this weekend against a really good Louisville team.
This weekend, and you've coached some of the great major leaguers in history and continue to coach them or continue to be great major leaguers. If you look at all the Tech players in the bigs right now and the history of it, obviously I'm partial to the Varitechs and Nomars of the world. Nomar! But what does it mean to have them back? Is that where the real emotion, the flood of emotion overtakes you? And at the end of the day, it's about your relationships with your kids, not to sound cliched, but is that where the real sentimentality comes as you start to see all the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of kids that you've coached over the years?
Definitely, for sure. And then, you know, I know you had your mom on the radio today. So my mom at 89 years old is traveling down here right now. And that is the big emotion probably, you know, for me.
Yeah.
To be, and but you know, the players, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, I take a lot of pride. Like, this is my 32nd season right now. The count is 39 major league players in 32 seasons. And there's, you know, hopefully it'll be a few more pop up there this summer before the chapter gets closed. But I take a lot of pride in that. I take a lot of pride in just other guys that, you know, the old NCAA commercial, these guys aren't going to be pro athletes, but they're going to go pro in something else. And there's not a better school than Georgia Tech to allow somebody to choose a profession that, you know, they can do great things with. So, yeah, that's the emotion. And then my family, you know, both my sons played for me. Wife's been in it for 32 years, and she's done a tremendous job, you know, of just including all these ex-players of mine. Like, she's constantly in contact with them to, you know, get them tickets and get them back for a game. So it's, you know, it's been great just to see all the guys that I've coached.
It's a family affair. I'm sure you've missed a lot of – it's nice when you don't have to miss your kids' games when they play for you in the ACC at Georgia Tech. But like you said about your wife or, you know, any of the other coaches, legendary coaches, a lot of missed nights, a lot of missed holiday-type stuff or moments, a lot of recruiting that goes on. So, it takes a village to have a guy be able to coach 32 years, and I'm sure your wife is the one who's been the you know, the steady behind all that.
Oh, it does. No, it does. And, you know, I've told people, so my dad started a little league team when I was 8 years old in a little town called Coolville, Ohio, in Athens County. And so I've had a uniform on for, you know, for, let me do the math. You're good at math, but I've had a uniform on for 62 straight years at some point in time. And so, you know, to say that it's been a great run, it's been a great run, but, you know, just baseball is, I think it's a great game, and it's just been very special for me, and it's given, you know, it's given me a lot of things, and, you know, and I couldn't think of a better place just to get the opportunity to coach than Georgia Tech, and I'm very grateful to Homer Rice for giving me that opportunity, and then, You know, I've had some other great ADs, and I think, all my other ADs other than Dave Brain are still very active. And I still see Dave. I got a chance to see him when we went and played Virginia Tech earlier this year. But been very blessed. That's how I say it.
How does a kid different in 2025 the way he wants to be coached as opposed to 30 years ago? Or maybe it's not that different, but give a dad in his car what you know about, in general, the same kid, over the era, and how you handle him.
It's a great question. First of all, a lot of them want to know how much money they're going to get paid in.
Do we lose him right there for a second?
Baseball, it's not as bad as it is in basketball or football by any stretch of the imagination. But I think the biggest thing is, just to be a hard worker. You got to be a good if you're good enough, I don't care what little town, you're in, somebody's going to find you to get a go play. And now, there is some more money going around, particularly in football and basketball, where guys are getting paid. If you're a really, great player, then you can get NIL money and get some revenue sharing money and things like that. But I think the players are the same. They all have the goal of being a major league player. That's really hard to get to. If you can somehow get to play in college, you're way above the grade, so to speak. But I think it's about, trying to be a good player, work hard to be a good player, be a good teammate, and just enjoy the game. I think that's the biggest thing. And, we talk to our guys all the time. Like, a lot of times they put pressure on themselves, and, it might be a parent putting pressure on a kid. And so, you got to manage it and make sure that, they're still having fun when they're playing. And I'll share this story real quick. It's a parenting story. So I had a guy call me 2 years ago, and I'm not going to say the guy, but I'll just say his son is playing in the big leagues right now. And he was looking for kind of a different hitting instructor. He was, and so he wanted my thoughts on it. And I gave him my thoughts. And I said to the guy, and maybe not as harsh as this is going to sound, but I said, he's got great people around him. You need to let them coach him, and you just need to be his dad.
Yeah.
And this guy, at a national sales meeting recently, he actually had me speak. And at the end of it, he goes, Danny Hall saved my relationship with my son because he gave me great advice of just be a dad and not try to be his coach.
I love that.
And I
can't even imagine how many, and I'm a dad of three, I can't even imagine how many thousands of guys in their car right now are listening. Absolutely, that resonates with a perfect piece of advice for anybody that is around youth sports. Danny, it's been a thrill to get to know you over the years. I'm sure we're going to spend time together. Wishing you nothing but the best. A huge year for Georgia Tech, third in the ACC right now. We know how good that league is. We know how exciting it'll be to be out there this weekend against Louisville. So wishing you and your team nothing but the best.
Thank you, and thank you for all the years of just being great, to me and great to our baseball program at Georgia Tech. Look forward to seeing you soon, and hey, if you need a guest appearance, I'm going to be available here shortly. So,
all right, buddy. Appreciate it. I'll see
you. All right. Have a good one.
All right. We'll see you at the regional at home. We know that's going to happen as well. All right. We'll come back. We'll play some three strikes. We'll take a deep breath. It's been a wild couple hours.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's 10:43 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Steakhouse reminding you a couple of things as we roll through really what has been the fastest 2 hours in radio. This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Anything else we need to get take care of, Mr. Bo, that we have not?
Well, we got to say thank you to John Foy for our game of the night. It's going to be Braves and Pirates. Braves trying to get back up to 500 for the first time this season. They're sitting at 18-19, and now they got a struggling Pirates squad who just fired their manager and has lost seven games in a row.
God, you talk about
gotta get there. Come on.
You talk about a fan base that has been through the ringer, man. The Pittsburgh Pirates. And
they reset the ringer, man. The last like 15 years, what that franchise has done to its fans, that owner has done to his fans.
Have they, can you look up, have they won a playoff game in 30 years?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. No, actually, no. They
wouldn't. What do you mean,
no, they've not. I don't think they have.
Let's look it up and not just jump at the.
Do you count wild card games, like the wild card playing games? Because they won one of those.
Yeah. Then I think you got to call it.
Yeah. But
have
really,
they been in a, so they were in a playoff series in the last,
yeah,
I don't
like
even remember.
Or something like that. It's been a long time.
Well, let's take a look at it and see. I know they've been much maligned. And it's a great ballpark, and it's a great downtown, and it's a wonderful place for Braves fans to be able to go. Back-to-back weekends, you get Pittsburgh and Boston, two great ballparks, two great cities to stay downtown. Good time of year to go, not in the middle of summer. Super easy to get tickets. I promise you this, Braves fans, you can sit, you know, as close up as you want if you go to Pittsburgh. So,
yeah, 2015.
It was a wild card win or loss.
That was their last playoff appearance. It was in 2015. It's a 10-year dry spell.
Did they win or lose that game?
They lost.
Yeah, they lost the wild card playing because I don't remember them in a series, right? So, we shall see if we can finally get to 500. And the Reds win last night was a huge one. No question that you come back from down 4-2 in the ninth after you were watching Raisel Iglesias give it up to a 4-2 lead. Eli White with a bunt signal. Micah Harris drives in a run. You go all the way to the 11th, and then you get the walk-off from Drake Baldwin.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big spot for the Braves last night. It's a game that you need to win because it's been one step forward, two steps back for this team for the last couple of weeks at this point, and it seems like you're finally putting things together, and one other thing falls apart.
Yeah, I would say one step forward, one step back. Two steps back would mean that you're back where you were. You're right there to get to 500. So literally, you're at one game under, and then you're back down. You're one game under. Remember how we started this thing? Seven games under 500.
True.
You were 1-9, I believe, after your first home series of the year. You went 0-7, lost 2 out of 3, maybe.
You won 2 out of 3 against the Phillies.
Oh, and then you came back.
And then
the
you
way?
Split with the Marlins. And right. Look, this is a Braves team that's in fine shape. I mean, they were on a 100 win pace after that 0-7 start. And this team is going to be just fine.
Hold on. They're on a 100 win pace?
Based off of that, the stretch after that 0-7 start.
Dude, they're not winning 100 games.
I didn't know.
You're
said,
too smart.
After that 0-7 start.
I understand, but that's like saying you went 6-1 one week, you're on a 120 win pace. I mean, this is not a 100 win team. This is a team that's going to battle to survive against the Phillies and Mets. I'm not trying to jump down your throat. But I mean, yeah, you could. Yes, they've had a good 18-game stretch, but the reality of this team is, and they're doing it against the Rockies and some other teams that, you know, you needed to feast on, right? Cincinnati, you still are yet to get in the meat of the division that's going to happen. Obviously, the Nationals not nearly as good as, or the Marlins, so it's going to be the Phillies and Mets. But the question is, are they a playoff team with Spencer Trider and Ronald Acuna? Are they a playoff team that can get there with Chris Sale and a healthy Spencer Strider, and then obviously Schwellenbach last night.
Yeah.
That's key, right?
It's critical. I mean, like, this is a team that just needs to tread water until they get Ronald Acuna back and then hope that Ronald Acuna can bring them back to what they could potentially be.
They have to make the postseason, which now is going to be hard. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's going to be hard to get to the postseason. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, all you're trying to do is get Chris Sale on the mound, whether it's in a 3 out of 5 divisional playoff or if you're stuck in the wild card, you know, you need to say, We have our big guns. Why not us? Texas did it. Arizona did it with, you know, mediocre regular seasons. And it can happen for you as well. And that's just where you have to be. Everybody back where you – Sean Murphy in the middle of the lineup, and Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, and Ozzie Albies, and you know, Drake Baldwin now not a rookie anymore because we'll be in October. Just get there.
Braves won 88 games in 2021. I mean, to your point, I mean, it, you don't have to win the regular season. You don't have to be the best regular season team to win a World Series.
No, listen, who thought Eddie Rosario and Jock Peterson and Jorge Soler were going to lead you to a World Series? Rosario was the MVP, I think, of the NLCS.
NLCS against
the— like, if that doesn't tell you that it's really just not about a 110-win team, it's about what happens when you get to October. Mm-hmm. I'll take my chances the way Chris Sale looked the other night, and I think Spencer Strider is going to come back on such a friggin' mission. They have to – listen, he is the definition of chomping at the bit. There's no more frustrated professional athlete than Spencer Strider right now. He can't believe the fluke injury that happened after he came back. He is embarrassed by it. He is frustrated by it, but he still has some of the best stuff in the majors.
And he said as much yesterday when he talked to the media before the Braves game yesterday. He says it's he wants to be back now, and he doesn't want to be on the shelf for 5 minutes, much less like a week or two. He's frustrated. He's pissed off. He's ready to get back and contribute to this team. Because, look, I mean, he's expected to be the ace of this staff. You brought in Chris Sale to be a supplemental ace. He's the guy who supports the ace, which is Spencer Strider. And when he's at his best, that's when this Braves rotation.
Well, he also said, I haven't earned a paycheck in a full year. I have not earned my paycheck in a full year. That's the mentality. Chris Sale has the exact same mentality. There is nobody that is harder on themselves than Chris Sale and Spencer Strider. Those kind of bulldogs in the front of your rotation, if you get your lineup back and they're being super precautious with Ronald Acuna, they are absolutely focused on what happened a few years ago when he had a setback after coming off the ACL and the first year back was not where he wanted to be, and they are not playing around. They're not playing around with Strider. They are saying this is a marathon, not a sprint. This is about finding your way in. We did it as an 88-win team. We can do it again, but you got to be pulling all the right cards. And that's why the Eli Whites of the world, what he has given you, Nick Allen, what he has given you, what Grant Holmes has given you, these are the guys that have kept you treading water or better for, as Garrett said, for weeks. And then the big boys have to take over. Here's our three strikes question. The best advice your mom or dad ever gave you. The best advice your mom or dad ever gave you. I love what Danny Hall said. Some big corporate CEO said, this guy saved my relationship with my kid by telling me, be a dad, don't be a coach. I heard the exact same line from my daughter at a batting cage when she, her last year of softball, crying, saying to whoever her coach was, he should be my dad, not my coach. And I didn't think I was doing anything crazy. I was just watching her batting cage session. It just probably wasn't a good one. I was probably giving her pointers because, you know, God knows I was such a great hitter. But anyway, it's great advice. I got it. I wasn't good at it at times. Great advice there. It wasn't a mom or dad who gave it to her. But best advice your mom or dad ever gave you. What's on the menu for Mother's Day? I don't know if you're headed for brunch. I don't know if you're cooking at home. I get the sense Father's Day menu is pretty basic. I am curious, what do you do for mommy on Mother's Day? What's on the menu? And the TV mom that would have been great to have. The TV mom that would have been great to have. I think we all agree Claire Huxtable, even more so than Daddy, given the, what we know now. But anybody on TV, a TV mom that would have been great to have. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We want to fill the phone lines up. Best advice mom or dad ever gave you. What's on the menu for Mother's Day? TV mom that would have been great to have. All right, you want to talk real quick NBA before we get to these calls?
Yeah, man.
I'm just going to tell you that if tomorrow you have to go back to the well, you have to go back to the well. I think you have to take Boston and you have to take Cleveland. And obviously, those are powerhouse teams, right? Talent wins. New York, definitely more talented, more resilient than anything I could have imagined. Indiana has somewhat of a clutch factor for sure. Tyrese Halliburton must have heard that he was voted the most overrated player in the league by his peers. But at the end of the day, talent wins. Now, it may not win the series when you're down 2-0, and it may not win the series for Cleveland when you have that many injuries. But at the end of the day, what I believe is going to happen is Boston will right the ship, and Cleveland, and they're both significant favorites on the road tomorrow. If the Celtics don't win tomorrow, they're down 3-0. That scene at Madison Square Garden, that's going to be worth watching tomorrow, because the city of New York is losing their mind right
now. Yeah, and it's not like the Pacers and Knicks have any history, right?
Yeah. Well, I one of those isn't going to be there. I don't know which one. Just like one of them, Celtics or Cavs, may not be there. I would guess it may be the Cavs given their injuries.
Yeah.
But listen, the way Boston has played, they're going to shoot 50 more threes. It's real simple. If the threes are going in, they'll win, and they'll win handily. And if they shoot 25%, they're 25 for 100, then it will not happen. But it is a very – I'm not talking about it because of Boston. I'm talking about it because it's the most intriguing sports story is what the New York Knicks are doing right now. 404-726-0929. What are we going to do here, G? All four seasons?
All four seasons, garage and entry doors. We didn't get the tailgate, so let's make three strikes, brought to you by our friends over at All Four Seasons.
All right. Paul in Sugar Hill. Hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Hello, Steak. How are you today?
Good. Best advice your mom or dad ever gave you?
Read the Bible daily.
What's on the menu for Mother's Day?
Ham, macaroni and cheese, and green beans.
TV mom that would have been great to have.
Well, I have to go with Hazel.
Wow.
She's not a mom, but she was like a mom to many.
Wasn't she a maid?
She was the maid. All right. She was.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Greg in Kennesaw. Hey, Greg, you're on Sports Radio 92.9. Buddy, give me the best advice you ever got from mom and dad.
Yeah, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff.
What's on the menu for Mother's Day?
Bone-in ribeye, baked potato, green beans or salad.
TV mom would have been great to have.
Peg Bundy would have been great to have.
Good stuff. Thank you, buddy.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company.
We got a busy week next week for sure. I hope you've enjoyed everything going on this week. Thank you to Bob Ryan who joined us, Danny Hall who joined us, Jason and Whitney Aspis from ringerware.com and the big tournament coming up. And then who am I leaving out? My mom. Thanks, Mom, for being on as well. Thank you, Bo. Thank you, G-Money. Andy and Randy coming up next. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.